Well, I've been doing biomedical research and clinical research in animals and human beings for almost 39 years. And I can tell you, no matter how you look at health and longevity, whether it be in animals or human beings, there's only really two concepts you have to deal with. Concept number one, I refer to as avoid stepping on the landmines. This is where you don't want to throw away your healthy physical body wastefully. You don't want to smoke. Don't abuse alcohol. Don't do drugs. Don't jog down the highway at 2 o'clock in the morning wearing an all-black ninja suit. You're going to get hit by a truck mirror, right? Lastly, in concept number one, if at all possible, you want to avoid going to a doctor because given half a chance, they will kill you. One of my most inflammatory statements in the Dead Doctors Don't Lie tape was doctors kill 300,000 Americans every year. And of course, that came from a news release of Ralph Nader and Sidney Wolf in January of 1993. And they did a three-year study, 1,500 pages, and they actually said 150,000 to 300,000 each year are killed by doctors and hospitals as a result of negligence. What a huge figure. Just think of the Vietnam War. 10 years, we lost 56,000 military personnel over 10 years for an average of 5,600 a year. Think of all the millions of people who poured out in the street and protested those 5,600 military personnel a year. We had political anarchy at the end of that 10-year war, 3 years political anarchy. We chased a president out of the presidency. God forgive us, we shot and killed American students in Kent State, Ohio for protesting, just exercising their First Amendment rights for that 10-year Vietnam War. And here's one trade who kills 150,000 to 300,000 Americans every year. And you can't find a single person out there with a placard protesting it. In fact, people line up, especially in election years, begging the government to give them more for free. And I find that kind of fascinating. Well, just to kind of back that up, April 14th, 1996, day before tax day, easy to remember, Parade Magazine, which is the big Sunday supplement in most big newspapers around the United States, big cover article, when doctors are the problem. And they give all these horrible examples of people who are killed and injured and infected when they go to hospitals. Doctors get tired of me saying those things. And I say them day after day after day as I go across this great country. And Harvard Medical School says, look, we're going to shut Wallach up once and for all. Harvard Medical School created this survey. And to show that they weren't going to tilt things in favor of doctors, after they created the survey, they gave it to the RAND Corporation to do the study. That way they say, hey, whatever comes out, comes out. And remember, this is RAND Corporation and Harvard Medical School. Notice the title, Examining the Casualty Count. I love it. Okay, doctors kill 180,000 Americans a year in hospitals alone. They infect and injure 1.3 million. That's more casualties in 5 years of the Second World War. You say, well, how can that be and nobody protest? Let's have a look here. They did their due diligence. Fewer than 2% of the survivors of those killed and less than 2% of those infected and injured by doctors ever get compensated because 98% never know it was the doctor's fault. Doctors don't come out of surgery rooms, drop their mask, put their hand on Frank's shoulder and say, Frank, I killed your wife. Here's my card. Have your lawyer sue me. You know, they come out of the surgery room, they drop their mask, they put their hand on Frank's shoulder and say, Frank, we did our best. We did all these heroics and Francine didn't make it. Thanks, Doc. I know you did your best. Here's a great study by Ralph Nader. This was published in 1994. Ralph Nader looked at the relationship between seniors, people over age 65, and their doctors. This is on the front page of the USA Today, July 28, 1994. 70% of the doctors who treat Medicare patients flunk the exam on how to prescribe to the elderly safely, effectively, and economically. 70% flunk the exam on how to treat Medicare patients. Now, if American Airlines pilots would, 70% of them would flunk the test on how to fly, what would happen to American Airlines? What would happen to American Airlines if they killed 180,000 passengers a year? I mean, nobody would fly. Everybody would take a train or drive, right? Well, of course, if doctors were to line up patients along a wall and mow them down with a machine gun to save long-term treatment costs for diabetics and cancer patients and Alzheimer's and HIV patients, people would be aware and they'd say, I've got diabetes, but I'm not going to the hospital. They shoot you in there. I mean, that would be fair. You know, people would know what's going on. But Ralph Nader said these killings are very subtle and you have to be aware to know they're happening. Here's one of the many examples he gave. 32,000 hip fractures each year in America are attributed to prescribing by medical doctors that leaves the elderly sedated or unbalanced. They over-medicate them. They give them combinations of medicines that actually intoxicate them. They fall over and fracture a hip. And if you'll remember, 75% of the Americans over age 65 who fracture a hip don't live 90 days. They die of complications, pneumonia, pulmonary embolism, and stroke. And I believe that doctors should be held responsible for this, just the way the bartenders are held responsible and they let people drink too much, drive home, and kill somebody. Bartenders, maybe at the very best, if they go to bartender school, get a 90-day course. Doctors get 14 years to know how to prevent over-medicating people. So there's wrongful death, there's manslaughter and second-degree murder. One of my favorite surveys that was ever done on doctors was done by Harvard Medical School in 1972, And this was published in every medical journal in the land. It was also the main feature of a book called The Impaired Physician. And what they were doing was looking at the illegal use of drugs, either street drugs or prescription drugs by medical doctors. And they looked specifically at psychotropic drugs, things that interfered with the mental function and the dexterity and the reasoning ability of doctors. They looked at speed, marijuana, cocaine, barbiturates, opium derivatives, fentanyl, things of that nature. And they found out that 52% of the licensed medical doctors in America use psychotropic drugs illegally on themselves each and every week. 52%. What that means is if you go to a medical doctor for anything, don't be too excited about their degrees and their certificates and their licenses hanging on the wall. What you want to do very carefully is look at the pupils of their eyes and see if they're gorked out on something before you let them examine you, prescribe to you, or do any kind of procedure. One of my favorites was an anesthesiologist. He was actually a professor of anesthesiology at Stanford up in, San Jose? Palo Alto. Okay, thank you. He was supposed to do the anesthesia. He's a professor now, full professor, 34 years old. The guy was brilliant, young man, brilliant. He was supposed to be doing the anesthesia for a liver transplant. The patient's in there on the table, prepped, ready to go. Ready for the anesthesia. The liver is in the ice bucket, ready to go. You know, the liver from the donor was in there, waiting to be put in the recipient. The surgeons are all scrubbed up. Their gloves are up, waiting for the anesthesiologist, and they couldn't find him. So they had the head nurse run out in the hall and call his home. His wife said, he left 2 hours ago. And it's only 15 minutes to the hospital. So they start paging him on his pager. No response. Well, just, again, accidentally, one of the guards in the hospital at Stanford hear the a beeper going off in this little one-holer in the hall. Door's locked, so the guard kicks the door open, and here's Dr. John Barry Dykes, 34 years old, professor of anesthesiology at Stanford Medical School, with a shoe off, dead between the toilet and the floor. He'd been giving himself an injection of fentanyl in between his toes. He was actually going to do the anesthesia. This guy who's supposed to be the ethical and moral leader of these students was going to be doing anesthesia for a liver transplant under the effects of fentanyl, and he happened to overdose himself and he kills himself. John Barry Dykes, age 34 years of age. Last one, then we'll get on to the details of great diseases here. This one's local. You may have recognized this guy here, Dr. Michael A. Potler, 30-year-old pediatrician. He was just out of his residency and internship, 3 or 4 years. He was a troublemaker from the get-go in medical school. His nickname in medical school was the social director because he was the guy that got the drugs and the alcohol for the medical student parties. And there he is wearing Birkenstocks, a graduate medical doctor, does drugs, wearing Birkenstocks, so that should make you nervous. You know, you go into the exam room and the guy's dancing around in Birkenstocks, snapping his gloves, has needle tracks on his arms and make you a little nervous, wouldn't it? Wouldn't me. At any rate, he kills himself in an overdose of recreational drugs. Gives himself an intravenous injection, and he kills himself. Now, because he's a medical doctor, they eulogize him on the front page of the San Diego Union-Tribune. He saved the lives of children but lost his own. And in the article, it said he devoted his whole life to caring for children. Now, he was only out of his residency for 3 years. So unless he was a pedophile or a babysitter, that had to be a lie. Also, Dr. Michael A. Potler was a thief because the drugs he killed himself with, he stole from the hospital pharmacy. Thirdly, Dr. Michael A. Potler was malignant dumb. That's about as dumb as you can get because after 14 years of medical school and 3 years of private practice, he still could not read a syringe right and kills himself with an overdose. Now, would you want him working on your kids or grandkids? I wouldn't. First of all, you want to compare him. You want to compare him with a high school dropout. Can't read, can't write, can't do simple math, lives in a cardboard box, eats garbage. The only vehicle this poor soul will ever have is a grocery cart he steals from a neighborhood grocery store, does drugs 5 times a day and lives forever. Goes on and on and on compared with Dr. Michael A. Potler. Here's one where you can give thanks to the Lord that, you know, he took him out of the loop for you. God works in mysterious ways sometimes.